You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Student Pastor Josh Barnett.
My name's Josh. I'm Youth and Associate Pastor here. If I do not know you, I'm really excited about preaching this morning. And I want to let you know, I'm here to get your hopes up this morning. I'm here to prophesy God's promises to you. To remind you of God's promises, to remind you of the church's mission, to remind you what God has called us to do. I don't want to speak out of turn. I don't want to say anything that may not age well. but it's not over. It's not over. So there's a false prophet known as the mainstream media that says it's over. But it's not over. It's never over for the church. So, I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wins. It's never over for the church. Because Jesus has already won. And he is winning and has won. And so there's no reason for us to come in discouraged just because our guy didn't win. We'll get into it. Okay, let's open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. I got a lot to say about it. I'm just going to try not to rant the whole time. But I'm excited. I really believe Holy Spirit's going to move really powerful in this service. We're going to end with worship. We did one last song during that set because I really want to end with worship. I believe that the main reason that we gather together as believers is to worship with each other. Something happens in worship when believers gather together and fix their gaze on Jesus that doesn't happen in any other situation. So there is powerful breakthrough that happens in the body of Christ when we come together corporately and all of our hearts, our minds, our attention, our affection is fixed on Jesus. He comes and he moves on us really powerfully. So anyway, Isaiah chapter 60, let's read verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come." I'm going to read also, you don't have to turn there, but Psalms 24 verses 7 through 10 says, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? He is the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory." I'm here to tell you this morning that now is the time for the church to arise and shine like never before. Now is the time for the church to step up and be who God has called them to be. It is not time for us to run and hide. It is not time for us to cower in fear. It is time for us to rise up and be who God has called us to be. It's time for his people to become full of his glory. It's time for us to stop spectating and start participating. It's time for us to open up our hearts and surrender every part of our lives. That's Psalms 24. "Lift up your heads, you ancient gates. Open wide, you doors." He's talking about us. Talking about us so that the King of glory can come in. Isaiah 60 is talking about us. "Arise and shine, your light has come." Jesus shines his face upon us. We are meant to emit and radiate his glory everywhere that we go. It's God deliver us from Sunday morning only Christianity. We are the church, we are the body of Christ, and we are called to emit his glory in every atmosphere that we are in, every sphere of influence that we're in, every family that we're in, every job, every gas station, every convenience store, every street corner that you're on, everywhere that you go, we are supposed to emit and radiate the glory and the goodness of God. Your life should be a reflection of the goodness of God. God's goodness is actually his glory. When Moses said, is it okay if I preach this morning? Some of y'all looking at me like, what is this guy doing? Some of y'all looking at me like, this dude is crazy. I am. I'm crazy about Jesus. Let's go. Okay, so in Exodus, Some of y'all are still looking at me like, y'all, you're wild, man. It's okay. In Exodus, Moses says to God, show me your glory. And God says, I'll let all of my goodness pass before you. Our life should be a reflection of the goodness of God. Our life should be a reflection of the glory of God. And I think for far too long, the church in America has been lulled to sleep by our comforts and our conveniences. Because if you think about it, I mean, in everything that you have, you don't really need God. I mean, you do need him, but there's no desperation. And it's time that the church starts acting like Moses and the people of Israel when there were cliffs on one side, when there were barricades on another, when there were Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea was in front of them. Let us live our life in that place of desperation where we say, God, if you don't come through, I'm not going to make it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of heaven. We are all supposed to be poor in spirit. What does poor in spirit mean? It means those who recognize their neediness for the Lord. God isn't meant to be a side by, like the cherry on top of your Sunday called life. He's meant to be the Sunday. He's meant to be everything. We all need him desperately. And God moves and great power and great revival happens when the church of God realizes their neediness for the Lord. When they come into a desperation for Jesus, when he becomes the one thing. When he becomes the one thing. When we get the heart of David and say, better is that one day that I spend in your temple than I would spend thousands elsewhere, God. The one thing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And for far too long, the church, a lot of the church has this mindset of like, Lord, it's getting dark out there. Please come quickly. Jesus didn't say to pray like that. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And far too long, churches have hid out in their four walls praying that the rapture would happen instead of praying for revival. I don't want the rapture to happen. Because there's too many people that I love and I care about. First Peter says that he is slow. It is his will that none should perish. He is patient in his coming because it is his will that none shall perish. Jesus and the Great Commission did not say, hey guys, you know, y'all try to work this out, and if you don't, I'll come bail you out when you mess it up too bad. Jesus did not say that. He said, go ye therefore, making disciples of all nations. We have a mandate to make disciples of all nations. We have a mandate to make the earth look like heaven. Jesus would not have prayed it if he didn't mean it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And listen, our hope is not in the Republican Party. My Lord. But I think sometimes we get fear and anxiety and worry all comes in because we put our faith in a man. We put our faith in a system rather than keeping our faith in Jesus. Whether your guy wins or not, Jesus is still on his throne. And here's the deal. They can't find enough mail-in ballots in the world to dethrone Christ. It's not going to happen. He's on his throne. He's always going to be on his throne. And God's not up there going, man, hope this works out for America. Really stressed. I really don't know what's going to happen. God's not up there doing that. And neither should we be. And listen, and maybe we feel that fear, anxiety, and worry because we spend too much time listening to false prophets called CNN instead of being in the secret place listening to the real prophet, Jesus Christ. You tracking with me? Okay, I just want to help you. There might be a need. You may need to turn the news off. You may need to shut social media down. The church needs to get back on its knees. And we need to pray. We need to go after him. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Today, this is an alarm clock for the church. This is a wake-up call. This is a rise and shine moment. No matter who's in the White House, no matter who wins the election, guess what? Our nation is still perverted. Our nation is still corrupted. Our nation is still divided. And political figures aren't meant to solve spiritual problems. The church is God's answer to the spiritual problems that are happening in our nation. All of this craziness that you're seeing happen in our nation right now is a direct reflection of the hearts of its people. That's what it is. And passing laws and making things illegal and repealing laws and making things legal, those don't change the heart of an evil man. The only thing that changes the heart of a man is the glory of God, the goodness of God. And guess who God wants to use to take his glory and his goodness to a lost and dying world? Us. He's calling us to do it. Jesus isn't on anybody's side. He doesn't take sides. He told Joshua, I came to take over, buddy. He comes to take over. He should take over our life completely. Should we vote? Should we vote for the candidate that reflects biblical values? Yes, absolutely. But if it doesn't happen, my hope's not in that guy. My hope is in Jesus. And the hope for the world, listen, is the church. Well, I thought it was Jesus. Yes, but it's us. He left us here to do his work. Psalms 110:1, the Father is talking to Jesus and he says, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. And that's the most repeated Old Testament verse in the New Testament. Sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. God is currently at work through his church redeeming creation. He's not waiting for it to get so bad so that he can come bail us out. He's looking for a victorious church that will redeem the planet. Well, brother, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The world's not your home, but the earth is. Maybe you should, you should not build your home in the system of the world, but you are on this earth. And God has a plan for this earth. And it's not to wipe it out. It's to redeem it. God didn't put Adam in the garden and then like, oh my gosh. Oh me, Adam, I can't believe that you messed this up. Now I'm just going to have to wipe out the whole planet. That's not what God did. God sent Christ to restore everything that Adam had turned over. Everything that Adam had forfeited. And I will say this, there is an enemy that has taken ground in our country, in our nation, in our world. And I will say that it's not that the enemy came in and stole it, it's that we let him have it. And so it's not really even about taking back what the enemy stolen, it's about going back and get what we forfeited. The enemy only has power that we turn over to him. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so I send you. So guess who has the power and authority on the earth right now? The church. Come on. Some of you are looking at me like, this dude is out of his mind. It's okay. God has a plan for his creation. He always has and he always will. Maybe if we hadn't been so focused on getting off this rock, we wouldn't have missed that God put us here for a reason. Maybe we need to set up shop and realize we're going to be here for a while. God said, occupy until I come. Occupy isn't sit idly by while the world goes to hell. Occupy means take ground. Take ground. We have lost what it means that the kingdom of God is taken by violent men. It is taken by men who forcefully advance the kingdom. Not in a physically violent way, but where we're spiritually violent, where we get into the place of prayer and we go after him with all that we are. And listen, this is important. This morning needs to be a realignment for the church. We've got to realign our hearts to what his purposes are in this world. Maybe we're not seeing people healed when we lay hands on the sick and pray for them because we need to be healed here first. Maybe the church needs a realignment. Maybe God is looking to and fro across the planet for a man with reckless abandonment who will say, here I am, Lord, use me, send me, I'll do it, whatever you want. You want me to lay down that? Here, sure. You want me to give up that? Yeah, sure, because all I want is you. All I want is your kingdom. All I want is to see people in love with you, Jesus. Listen, Jesus, the reason that Jesus was able to calm the storm was because he was at such a place on the peace of the inside that it began to manifest on the outside. He was at such a place on the rest on the inside that he was able to bring rest to the storm on the outside. You're not going to fix any, the church isn't going to fix anything in the nation if we can't get our stuff together. And maybe the world looks at the church and goes, I don't want what you have because y'all are full of disunity. Y'all are hating each other. Y'all got all these denominations. At least we only got two or three political parties, but y'all got 18 million denominations. God hates discord and he hates disunity. The church is powerful when it comes and it's unified. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. What could a whole unified body do? What could a whole church do that's in alignment with itself? Paul and Silas were able, are y'all with me? Yeah. Paul and Silas were able to bring freedom when they started singing. The chains fell off because they had so much freedom on the inside that when they opened their mouth, they experienced freedom on the outside. And listen, I want to say this. Maybe that we can't be united one with another because we're so divided within ourselves. Wow. It's hard for two people with divided hearts to come together as one. It's hard enough for two different people to come together as one, but people who are, well, when you're this way at church and you're this way on Friday night, and you're this way in front of these people and you're this way in front of these people, and you're this way in the secret place and you're this way and you're this way and you're this way. We have to have a realignment in our hearts first before we're going to see a realignment in society and culture. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says that all of creation is groaning for the manifesting of the sons and daughters of Yahweh. Another translation says that all of creation is on eager tiptoe, waiting with expectation for the manifesting of the sons and daughters of Yahweh. What does that mean? That means creation is waiting. It's in slavery, and it's waiting for people who know who they are, who walk in freedom, to come and speak freedom over it. It's Romans 8. It's in there. Yep. So how do we change culture? How do we change society? By coming who God created us to be. By believing that God is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am. Because some people begin, man, you know, I hear you, Josh. You know what? Yeah, you're supposed to radiate his glory and all that stuff, but you don't know my life. You don't know that everything I've done. You don't know whatever. I know that you've been washed in the blood. I know that God sees you like he sees Jesus. I also know from John 17 that God loves you like he loves Jesus. That he considers you a son and a daughter. And if you wait to, listen, if you wait to get all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. Before you start trying to admit his glory and his goodness, you're going to be waiting for a long time. You're going to be waiting for a long time. I do believe that the church has called us to be holy. I do believe that God has called us to be set apart. But I believe also that you've been redeemed. And I also believe that you stepping into that complete redemption, into that holiness, set apart from sin, is by believing that you have been born again. By believing that you are free, by believing that God does see you as holy and faultless and blameless before his throne. And when you begin to see yourself that way, you stop walking in so much dysfunction. Our nation needs a church that will arise and shine. It needs a church that is a city on a hill that emits and radiates the glory and goodness of God. A victorious church that has indescribable joy and peace. A holy church that walks in righteousness. Worry, anxiety, and fear are not characteristics of a victorious church. But righteousness, love, power, peace, and joy are. We are meant to emit and radiate the glory and goodness of God at all times. And it's not dependent on our outward circumstances. It should be dependent on the flame inside of our hearts. The flame on the inside of our hearts. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling drugged through the mud, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling fear, if you're feeling these things right now, you need to know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where do you get that joy? Psalm 16, 11 says, in his presence there is fullness of it. In his presence there is fullness of joy. You need more strength, you need to be in his presence. We can't, as the body, as believers, we can't afford to be different every single day. Like, we have got to have some consistency in the joy and the peace in which we walk in. We can't let the trials and circumstances of our life move us back and forth. We can't be double-minded. We can't be double-minded. We've got to have a singular fix and focus on the one thing, and that is the face of Jesus. God's light is in us. God's light is in us. You might need to throw another log on the fire, but God's light is in you. His glory is in you. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I don't know why God. But he likes to use the things in which he created. He didn't create us for no reason. He actually has a calling and a purpose on our lives. He has a calling and a purpose on our church. And he desires to shine through us. He desires to shine through us. He desires to use our testimony to bring people into the kingdom. He desires to use us to defeat darkness. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. So all you 1611 King James only people, you're going to love it. Chapter 1. This is how I had to memorize it when I was a kid in Pentecostal school. So here we go. Chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. And then the light shines. So who shines forth in the darkness? Men, women, his children. His life brings us light, and we shine into the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not, or never overcomes it, depending on what translation. So he wants to shine through us. He came to bring us life and bring it to us how? Abundantly. John 10:10. It's in there. Look it up. Yeah. He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. His life is our light. His life is our light. Our life is his light. When you begin to walk in abundant life, you begin to shine his light. When you walk in abundant life, you begin to shine his life. If you're not walking in abundant life, you're not shining forth his light. And listen, abundant life doesn't mean that you've got the biggest house on the block and all the money in the bank account and all your kids are perfect and they all love you so much and everything's going well. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the condition of your heart right here. How do you carry yourself every single day? Is there joy in here? Is there life in here? Is there peace in here? Is there love in here? Are you walking the abundant life that he has called you to walk in, regardless of how the outward circumstances of life are looking? So is the church beat up and let down and discouraged because our political team didn't win? Or are our eyes fixed on the throne? And we realize that we always win every time. St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. And he said, you become fully alive by fully surrendering your life to Jesus. We become fully alive when we surrender our complete life to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus completely transforms us back into the way in which we were designed to be before sin. Romans 8 says that we were predestined to become like Jesus. And Paul's not talking about one day when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about right now. You are predestined to become like Jesus. But here's what we do. So many of us, we identify so much with Adam and Adam's sin more than we identify with Jesus and what he did on the cross and in his resurrection. I want to let you know, friends, that Jesus' death and resurrection is infinitely more powerful than Adam eating a piece of fruit. But we so hang on to Adam and the fruit, and we miss the cross and the resurrection, and Jesus came to restore everything that Adam lost. He came to restore my relationship with my Father, where I can now walk in the cool of the day again with God. That I can now, everywhere I go, has to turn into Eden because I'm there. That's the glory of God that lives on the inside of me and on the inside of you. You may not realize it, but when you come into a place where you begin to believe it, you'll begin to see society transform around you. You'll begin to see your family transform. You'll begin to see your home transform. You will begin to see the city and the nation and the church transform, because that is revival. That is revival. I don't think revival is someone coming back to life. I think revival is a church realizing who God has called them to be. A church believing and understanding the call of God on their life. Creation reflects the glory of God. Think about the most amazing vacation you've ever been on. Think about the most amazing place that you've ever been. I went to Montana with my wife and her family a few years ago. And I can't remember what that mountain range is called. Babe, do you remember? I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, it's the one that goes in, the big one that like goes into Canada and it's in Montana. The most incredible, amazing views that you have ever seen in your life. It's unbelievable, like crazy amazing. But think about the most amazing view that you've ever seen with your own eyes. And the verse comes to mind that Tim says all the time, only the fool in his heart says there is no God. Crazy. Creation screams the glory of God. But do you know what reflects the glory of God more than the most beautiful sights you've ever seen? You. You're the only thing created in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let us make man in our image. We reflect the glory and character and nature and image of the God that we serve. And so you better start believing that the glory of God is on the inside of you. Do not let the enemy disqualify you from this great call that God has on your life. God sees you. He loves you. He's not frustrated with your lack of progress. He's not frustrated. He's not angry. The thing that God gets mad at are the lies that you believe. The lies that you believe about yourself. That's what God's wrath and what God's judgment is aimed at, are the lies that you come into agreement with. And in his grace, he will come after every one of those. Habakkuk 2:14 says, the knowledge of the glory of God will one day cover the earth like waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the glory of God will one day cover the earth. So the glory of God already covers the earth. It's the knowledge that will one day cover the earth. The earth is already full of God's glory. We are now supposed to reflect that glory until people come into the knowledge of it. The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth when the church wakes up. When the church becomes alive by way of each individual becoming fully alive. When the church surrenders its plans, agendas, feel-good services, comforts, and conveniences and becomes all she was destined to be. This will happen when the church gets desperate for her bridegroom again. That's when we'll see revival. That's when the church will become irresistible to the culture. What is revival? This is a word that I say quite a bit, and some people may not know what it is. In the circles I grew up in, revival meant we're about to go to church every night for the next 2 weeks, and by God, we're going to leave exhausted and hating each other is what's going to happen. That's what I thought revival was growing up. Mom, again, we just went the last 10 nights. I got school in the morning. You say, well, revival is a great move of God. Yes, but I want you to know that God always wants to move greatly. He always wants to move greatly. He's waiting for a group of people that will come into agreement with the way he wants to move. So I define revival as this. It's an awakening of the body of Christ to a degree that they begin to transform lives, family, society, culture, cities, and nations around them. I don't think it's a coming to life. I think it's a coming back to our first love. Because you're already alive. And when you die, you will go be with Jesus. And it's going to be awesome. But while you're here, there's no retirement age on this. I don't care if you're 7 years old in the room, or if you're 77, or if you're 127 in the room. We're still called to radiate and admit the glory of goodness of God every day of our lives. And it's real simple. You just stay dependent on Jesus. You just stay in love with Jesus. You just stay in desperation for the Lord. Sometimes a revival looks like a flashpoint. Sometimes things break out and happens really fast. Sometimes it looks like 50 years of slow transformation. Sometimes it looks like a body of Christ raising up the next generation in the way that they should go. Sometimes it's going to take a while. I believe right now we are on the cusp of a great awakening. Why do I believe that? Because I believe 2020 has been God's wake-up call for the church. I don't believe that he has sent a lot of things that have happened, but I do know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So it's not that God causes all things, but he works all things. He works all things for our good. And I believe that God, and listen, these last 2 years have been tough, buddy, on a lot of people. He has been pruning and pruning and pruning me. And there have been people leave my life that I thought I was going to walk the rest of my life with. But I wouldn't take back one tear that's pushed me into. On the rug in the middle of my office where I've laid crying for hours. I wouldn't take back one tear. A lot of people prophesied that 2020 was going to be the year of clear vision. I don't know about all that, but I think they're just doing a play on words because it's 2020. I do believe it can be a year. I do believe it is the year of clear vision because I believe that we've been shaken to the core by everything that's gone on in our nation. And you look to your right and you look to your left, and there's people who were in this church last year that aren't here anymore. And that's okay. Because I'm more excited than I've ever been. About what God is doing in this church and what he's doing in these people and the people that he's bringing in and the fruit that's being produced. I'm more excited. I'd rather have 30 people in the Holy Ghost than 3,000 people without him.
That's it.
And I'm going to, the band can come out. I'm going to shut it down here. I've got more to say, but God, y'all know me. I could talk for the next 3 hours, so the rest of them wouldn't. Deanne said, I'll be okay with it. Here is the biggest thing that I wanted to communicate today. I really do want to get everybody's hopes up. I do. I wanted to stir something on the inside of you. I wanted to provoke people into the secret place.
Sure.
I tell my youth group this all the time. What you do in secret is the God that you worship. What you do in secret is the God that you worship. And I believe revival is happening in this church because I believe that people are getting desperate for Jesus. I believe revival is happening in the Church of America, but because people are getting desperate for Jesus. And did it take the coronavirus to get us there? Sure. Is it going to take Joe Biden and being in the White House to do it? Sure. But he's, whatever happens, happens. It's not over. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that it's over. Whatever. Is it going to take people being pruned out of your life that you thought you would walk with for the rest of your life to get you back down on your knees? I'm not saying that God took any of those things away or that he caused any of those things, but I look back over my life now and I see things that have happened. And I wouldn't be in this place today and I wouldn't be as close to Jesus as I am today if those things hadn't happened. So in my prayers, I thank God that they happened. Because it got me closer to him. And there's peace and there's joy in his presence like never before. There's peace in his joy that I felt that's indescribable, that's unexplainable, that I don't know would have happened if he didn't come and prune me. If he didn't come and cut on me. I don't know if there would be the healthy fruit that's being produced now in my life if he didn't come and cut me when I was immature and I wasn't ready. And I believe that God cares so much about unity. I believe that he cares so much about the unity of the body of Christ that he will come and he will remove those who sow disunity and discord among the brethren. It says in the New Testament that God hates those that serve sow discord among the brethren. Yeesh. I don't want to be that guy. Jesus is teaching one day and he talks about you can't put new wine in old wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. And we all want new wine. Everybody cries out for new wine. But not... The funny thing about wine is it becomes more valuable as it gets older. So when God starts pouring out new wine, a lot of times people start running away. Because they want the old thing. They want the way that we used to do it. They want the last guy. And I believe we're in a season where God wants to pour out new wine, but he won't pour out new wine in an old wineskin. But you know what they would do with old wineskins? They wouldn't discard them. They would actually make them new. You know how they would make old wineskins new again? They would cover them in oil. And I believe this morning, as we do this last song, that Holy Spirit wants to come in goodness and pour out fresh oil to make us a new wineskin, to get ready for the new wine that's coming. And so, if y'all stand with me, we're going to do this last song. And you're not dismissed. Don't run off. Just because I'm done talking doesn't mean service is over. It's 11:43. I usually don't start ministry time until like 12:03. So we're doing good, Jason. But I believe that we're supposed to stay in this place and we're supposed to ask the Lord to come and move on us. To come and move. And listen, you may not want to be here. You may want to rush out. You may have things to do. Just want to let you know the pot roast can wait. Chili's can wait. The Baptists are there right now anyway. And I'll let you go. You'll get there in between the Baptists and the Pentecostals. So you'll be fine. You'll be good to go. God bless. It's a joke. Laugh. Lighten up. It's funny. I have Baptist friends and Pentecostal friends. We all love each other and we all disagree and we all are still brothers and sisters in Christ. It's amazing. But even if you don't want to say it, even if you want to rush out of here, even if you got places to go, I want to say, wait. Wait on the Lord. Even if you don't want to say it out of your mouth, I would ask you that you hold out your hands, that you would lift up your hands, that you would speak words and say, God, even if I don't want you right now, God, put a desire in me to want you. Bring me back to my first love. Help me to love you like I used to love you, God. Take me back to that first degree in which I loved you, God. Lord, pour your oil on me. Make me a new wineskin. There is a new wine that is being poured out across the United States of America. There's a new wine. There's a new movement. There's an awakening happen from California to Maine to Florida. There's an awakening happen, and it's not dependent on who's in the White House. It's dependent on us recognizing that Jesus is still on the throne. So let's sing this out as loud as we can. I like to sing out like crazy loud because I know the devil hates it. I want to see him run as far and away from this nation as he can. The devil hates you because he wants what you are. He was the worshiper. You're now the worshiper. He wanted to be in the image of God. You are in the image of God. God's going to come and inhabit the praises of his people this morning, and some people are going to get touched by the Holy Ghost, and some bodies are going to get healed, and new tongues are going to be spoken this morning, and prophetic voices are going to be unlocked, and identity is going to be discovered this morning, because we serve the God of revival. We serve the God of new things. We serve the God who is always faithful. He will always be faithful. He's here this morning, so let's lift up his name.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.